today's show. Respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Respect is today's show. We are live every Sunday on WHCR, WHCR.org, 90.3 FM. We are the voice of Harlem. You can also catch me live on my Facebook page, Nick Papadopoulos. And please, 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 WHCR 90.3 is an independent, non-commercial community radio station known as the voice of Harlem. Please contribute. You can contribute by emailing me at coachnick@coachnick.com, and I will send you a link to contribute, or you can mail your contribution to WHCR. Happy Sunday. Happy Mother's Day. Happy start to the week. Here in New York City, the New York Yankees are also retiring the number of the great Derek Jeter. What an awesome day. Again, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. I'm Coach Nick, author, speaker, and facilitator around transformational and leadership topics, and a committed disruptor. Why we're here is to awaken humanity so everyone, and I mean everyone, gets to leave their mark. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture and engagement, team dynamics and development, and personal development. Coach Nick and the Dudes have a men's group here in New York City. If you're a dude or you know of dudes who want to join a community of men who are transforming what it means to be a man in today's world, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. We have a couple of sessions coming up. You can come as a guest. Coach Nick also has a political social action group with a bunch of friends. Our next political social action group, to get on the court and stay engaged around politics, how do you go about creating a respectful culture at work and a respectful culture at home? How do you keep respect healthy and ongoing both at home and at work? These questions are critical to your success both at work and at home. And given how workplace innovation and creativity and productivity can mean the difference between winning and not winning, or given the difference between healthy families and dysfunctional ones, today's show is an important one to listen and participate. We start every show with the first segment, Nick's Riff. Second segment, we have Say What, when we share an article or an audio clip that relates to the topic. In the third session, we have Ask a Dudette. We have Parting Shots in the fourth segment. In the second segment, we have Meredith Haberfeld, who is the CEO and founder of Think Human. And in the Ask a Dudette section, we have my colleague, Nikki Cannon, who's a leadership development consultant, calling in. Your phone calls at 212-650-6903. Please send in your online comments. And first, we start every show with Nick's Riff.
I know that, dude.
All right, we start Nick's Riff with a quote to help set a context for today's show, which is R-E-S-P-E-C-T, respect. Today's quote is from Kerry Patterson, who's the author of the best-selling book, Crucial Conversations. Kerry Patterson's quote is, respect is like air. If you take it away, it's all people can think about. Respect is like air. If you take it away, it's all people can think about. You know when respect is there and when it's not there. To some degree, we don't even have to have this conversation. We all know when respect is present at work, in the workplace, and at home, in your relationships, in your community, in your neighborhood. We just know it. It's like when you go into someone's home after they fried some food or cooked some food for a little bit, you know what they've cooked. The minute you walk into their home, it smells a certain way. And you can just pinpoint it within seconds to say, you just made a batch of fill in the blank. You just know. And it's always, yes, it is. Respect is the same way. Respect is like air. If you take it away, it's all people can think about. And I really believe that's a great sentiment to start our show off. The conversation today is about discussing the importance of respect and its impact on the quality of the relationships in your life, both at home and at work, and the impact on your bottom line results, both at home and at work. The disruption today around respect is to become aware of ways to increase your ways of creating a respectful culture, a respectful interaction, and a respectful experience. And not only to be the person who's initiating that type of respectful interaction, culture, and experience, also be the influence on others. The opportunity is to disrupt the sentiment that often you hear from many folks or from many teams at work, which is, I'm just this way, or this is just how we are here at work, or I will be respectful and polite and nice to those who show me respect. Once they show respect, I'll reciprocate, or the sentiment that I'm just too tired to be nice. I'm too busy to be nice, or that people just need to get over it, yo. People just need to get over it because they're just too sensitive. I mean, they just need to be big boys and big girls. That's the opportunities to disrupt all those sentiments in a world where you depend on others to support you in generating results. Respect is the access point, the pathway in creating the results that you desire. Listen, if we're all being straight, if we're all being honest, we've seen examples, or we're involved or experiencing or witnessing examples where there's culture, where respect doesn't exist, where culture is being impacted, where workplace safety is being impacted because respect is not actually present. There's some studies, there's lots of research around the impact of respect when it's missing and when it's present. There's some studies that I found, which is the Nurses Health Studies, NHS, that indicates as a health service as a whole, there are staff who report being switched off, quote unquote, and disillusioned, quote unquote, arising from bullying environments. The Center for Medical Education Research conducted a large-scale questionnaire and interview study on the importance and impact of bullying in the NHS, which is Nurses Health Studies. What the study found, the overall 20% of staff, 20% of staff had been bullied, and 43% had witnessed bullying in the last 6 months. That's a lot of people, folks. That's a lot of people. People being bullied, people witnessing bullying, and when bullying exists in culture, what this study from the Center of Medical Education Research found, that when bullying is found, there are lower levels of psychological health and job satisfaction. There are higher levels of intention to leave work, therefore saying people are less loyal to your work, to your organization. By the way, all of this applies to home as well, right? The study also identified key sources of bullying and barriers to people reporting bullying. Data from qualitative interviews supported these findings and identified workload pressures and organizational cultures as factors to contributing to workplace bullying. Other studies have also identified the impact of bullying on patient care. Again, this is all related to the Nurses Health Studies. Now, think about that. It's impacting people, right? People's job satisfaction is lower. People are more likely to leave. People's productivity goes down. And in this case, in this particular example, patient care is actually impacted. It's impacted. Given the large proportion of people in our lives, again, both at work and at home, who experience or witness bullying, and the implications of this kind of behavior, addressing bullying is a priority for all of us. And it's why I wanted to have this show today, because I really, really believe that it's time to disrupt this thing called bullying. And by the way, for those who may be thinking out there, well, it sounds like an interesting topic, Coach Nick. I'm glad the dudes are talking about it. However, we don't bully at home. We don't physically push people around. At work, I mean, hey, we're a professional environment. We're not pushing people around. We're not poking people in the chest. Bullying happens in so many ways. Bullying is not just about physically bullying people. Bullying, which therefore creates an experience of disrespect, happens by not listening to people, by cutting them off when they're talking or sharing a story or sharing a thought that they have. Bullying happens when you're giving people extra work knowingly that it's going to create stress in their lives, or giving them work that you know they can't handle because you're wanting to set them up to lose, or you're wanting to set them up to have anxiety. It's creating a space where people are nervous to speak up or to share because you may ridicule them or make jokes about their idea or about them or about their team. Bullying is not about the physical. It's about ignoring them. It's about leaving them out of conversations. It's about excluding them from projects. And by the way, again, everything that I'm saying, everything, folks, that I'm talking about can be applied both at home and at work. I believe respect is a game changer. I really do. I know that companies spend a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of resources, a lot of conversations, a lot of meetings around branding, about rebranding, about coming up with higher purpose sentiments, coming up with their mission statements, about rolling out new websites and new messaging around who they are and developing core values about what's important to them and the kinds of people they want to attract. And they invest lots of money and lots of resources into creating an infrastructure where people can have a friendly environment. Please keep doing all those things. Those things are all critical. And please, make sure you are tending to this conversation called respect, because respect is created in many, many ways. Respectful experiences are created in many ways. That's actually your good news. Respect does not fit one size. One size does not fit all in the conversation of respect. Inside of this context called respect, there are so many ways where you can create a respectful interaction, a respectful environment, and respectful culture. And there are so many ways where you can do the opposite. And so again, continue to invest in all the things that you do at work to have your folks operate efficiently, to operate at a higher level, to give meaning and clarity to why you do and what you do and how you do it. And please make sure that both at work, in your work environments and workplace, and at home with your families, in your neighborhoods, that you are constantly talking about how do we feed this important element called respect? How do we tend to this conversation called respect? The question I want to ask the Global Tribe of Disruptors before we go to break is, on a scale of 1 to 10, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, 1 being the lowest, how much disrespect do you observe at home and at your office and at home? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much disrespect do you observe at your office and at home? And by the way, again, this is not about making anybody wrong. It's not about you feeling wronged if you have been disrespectful or you have been witness to disrespect both in the workplace or at home. That's why we're having this conversation, to disrupt this automatic that we have, where sometimes we have just normalized, where we have just taken for granted that this is just how that person is. This is just how our work environment is. This is just how our family operates. This is just how people are here in our neighborhood. No, it's time to disrupt. I am telling you, respect is the game changer. You can do everything else around your business. You can do everything else you want around your family. The key is to create a respectful experience. What we're going to talk about today is the importance. We're going to share more research around the importance of respect and the role that it plays for people in their ability to be productive. We're also going to talk about and peel back, what does it actually mean to be respectful? So more when we come back. Your phone calls at 212-650-6903. Please send in your online comments. And the first song is Respect Yourself. All right, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics, your automatic way of being, your automatic way of doing, your automatic way of thinking. And today we're disrupting your automatics around this conversation called respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. We have calling in this next segment the founder and CEO, Meredith Haberfeld from Think Human. In the next segment, the third segment after that, we're going to have Nikki Cannon, a colleague of mine who's a leadership development coach. We have some friends online. Our friend Nick from Queens says, hey, dudes. Hey, dudes to you too, Nick. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. Again, the question of the show is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much disrespect do you observe at your office and at home? 10 being the highest. That song was Respect Yourself by the Staple Singers. This song, actually, Respect Yourself, was the very, very first song on Soul Train. How cool is that? It was the first Soul Train dance line ever. I think that's so cool. Here's some lines from that song, Respect Yourself, which is, if you disrespect anybody that you run into, how in the world do you think anybody's supposed to respect you? If you don't respect yourself, ain't nobody going to give a good cahoot. And if you're walking around thinking that the world owes you something because you're here, you're going out the world backwards like you did when you first come here. Yeah, because around women and you don't even know their names, no, then you're dumb enough to think that'll make you a big old man. It's all about respect. On the line, we have Meredith Haberfeld. Meredith, hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Meredith is a dear, dear friend, a sweet human being. Meredith, you are, correct, the founder, CEO of this incredible organization group called Think Human here in New York City, or located out of New York City, right?
True that, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. I've been a part of Think Human at one point in my career. Meredith, you want to share what you folks are about and what you stand for?
Sure. Think Human works with organizations and the people within them to unleash soul in business and to use business as a lever for the greater good. And that means having people in the business be most alive and self-expressed and thriving, and then bringing that out to the communities that they serve.
I love it. And I thought this conversation about respect and the importance of having respect in the workplace and at home was super important to have you inside of this conversation, especially when you say that your purpose, your why, is to unleash soul. And I do believe, and I think you're aligned with this, in order to unleash soul, respect must be present. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. And I think your point that it starts with respect of oneself and emanates outward from there is absolutely true. If people feel like diminished, their own light is dim, anything coming in on us, it like hits so much harder and has
right.
such a greater impact
yes.
than when our own light is on.
Love it. So we're going to play a quick clip, Meredith, from a comedian that you and I grew up with. I thought, since we're talking about respect, we would definitely need to include Rodney Dangerfield in this just for a few seconds.
Let's do it.
Boy, that's the story of my life. No respect. Tell her no respect. No respect at all. You kidding me? Well, I was drowning. I was yelling, help, help. And the lifeguard ran over. So they're like, buddy, keep it down. Keep it down. I don't get no respect from anyone.
The lifeguard came over to him while he was drowning and said, keep it down. That's too much. I wanted to play that clip before I shared this next article that I want to include you inside of, Meredith, which is an article that I found by a woman named Christine Parath. It's titled, Half of Employees Don't Feel Respected by Their Bosses. And I thought having Rodney Dangerfield, who stood for I Get No Respect, would be a good compliment to each other. This article by Christine Parath, Half of Employees Don't Feel Respected by Their Bosses, is based on some research and studies that Harvard Business Review and Tony Schwartz conducted, right? So let me share a couple of bits from that article and then ask you for your perspective on it. The article says, again, the article's called Half of Employees Don't Feel Respected by Their Bosses. When it comes to getting employees to commit and to actively engage, there is one thing that leaders need to demonstrate most. Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. That's what came out of this study, again, of 20,000 employees around the world that Harvard Business Review and Tony Schwartz conducted. What they also found that no other leader behavior, no other leadership behavior had a bigger effect on employees across the outcomes that they measured. Being treated with respect was more important to employees than recognition and appreciation. Communicating and inspiring a vision or a higher purpose or a mission statement, providing useful feedback, right, real-time feedback, coaching feedback, even opportunities for learning, growth, and development. What do you think about that? That respect actually trumps all of those elements from recognition to growth opportunities.
I think it's like the starting quote you gave, that it's when it's present, you don't necessarily notice it, but you take it away and it's like there's no oxygen in the room. It's like in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it's at the bottom. You don't
right.
think about it once you've moved up the rung, but if you don't have that, you got nothing.
Right. So the study went on in this article, again, from Harvard Business Review. Half of employees don't feel respected by their bosses. Here's some statistics, Meredith. They said those that get respect from their leaders reported 56% better health and well-being, 1.72 times more trust and safety, 89% greater enjoyment and satisfaction with their jobs, 92% greater focus and prioritization, 1.26 times more meaning and significance. Those that felt respected by their leaders were also 1.1 times more likely to stay with their organizations than those that didn't. Do you have any other statistics you want to share? Do those statistics surprise you? Well, what's your thoughts on some of those statistics? Because they're all pretty incredible, right?
They're incredible to highlight them, but they're also common sense, right? Like, who wants to stay at a job when they don't feel respected?
Right.
To me, what's most fascinating is in working with organizations and working with people leaders, if you ask a room full of 40 people leaders who intentionally is disrespectful
right.
toward your team, maybe you might get one or possibly two loudmouths who are like, yeah, I can be a jerk, I know it.
Right.
But mostly people are like, no, I'm well-intentioned, I'm trying to do good. And I think what's most fascinating about respect is that it's such a blind spot for us in our own behavior and
yes.
for people leaders at large.
Yes. I think you're being too kind. When I do workshops and set team sessions, and I ask, when I do a session around respect specifically, and I'll ask, who here thinks they're respectful? Everyone raises their hand, right?
Yeah.
And to your point, I love what you said, because it's not about, and this conversation now, or when I'm leading a group in public, it's not about that you're disrespectful. It's how do we continue to create awareness around respect, because it has such an impact. It has such an impact on the relationships, an impact on the results that we produce. Let me ask you specifically about this one statistic that this article, half of employees don't feel respected by their bosses, 1.72 times more trust and safety. Why is there so much more safety when respect is present, when respect is in the space? What's the correlation between safety and respect?
Think about that for a minute. I mean, psychological safety is such an interesting thing. And
right.
also, like respect, so intimately tied to performance overall.
Yes.
I don't know. I turn the question back to you, Nick. What do you see as the correlation between respect and psychological safety?
So that was Meredith Haberfeld, founder and CEO of Think Human, pulling a Coach Nick on me and asking me a question. I love it. So Meredith, I would say my sense is that when people feel safe, and by the way, you could apply the same thinking, right, when you're at home and the people that you choose to be your partners, your significant others, your friends. I believe that when you feel safe, you are willing to take responsible risks. You're willing to share your voice in a way that you normally wouldn't. What I always say is that when you feel safe, you become smarter, even though you were always smart, right? You become smarter because you're willing to lean in because you know that it's safe, right? So your level of creativity goes up, your level of innovation goes up, your level of collaboration even goes up. And so I think when respect is present, people feel safer and they bring a different version of themselves to work and to their relationships.
Yeah, well, I'm sure, Nick, that you know Amy Edmondson, the Harvard researcher, and for anybody that's listening that doesn't know about her, she's amazing, and she's done a lot of really interesting work on psychological safety. And some of her early work exploring it, started to look at psychological safety correlated to stay with your nurse analogy, psychological safety correlated with reported errors
right.
in hospital wards. And initially what they found is that the higher the psychological safety, the higher the reported errors. They were like, well, that's fascinating. Let's dig a little deeper. And what they found next was super interesting,
right.
which was that the wards with low psychological safety, once they dug in a little further, actually had the same or higher number of actual errors. They just, the nurses didn't feel safe reporting those errors. So they were continuing versus the high psychological safety wards where the errors were getting reported, the root causes addressed and uncovered, the performance of those wards better, and the patient outcomes, most of all, better. So psychological safety is like a transformative feature
yes.
in an organization. And, I mean, I could talk on and on and about it. Google has done a lot of interesting work on high-performing teams. Should we talk about that right now?
Yes, no? Please. Go ahead. I love it.
Yeah. So Google, who does a lot of really interesting data crunching research on high performance, looked at thousands and thousands of pieces of data to try to uncover or crack the code on what was similar and what was in common among the highest performing teams at Google.
Right.
And their initial hypothesis was that it had to do with something about who was on the team or the combination of people on the team.
Right.
And after a lot of searching, what they ultimately discovered is it wasn't about who was on the team that created the key ingredients for high performance, but in fact, it was the norms or the behavioral norms that were present in the team. And the foundational behavioral norm that was present was a high degree of psychological safety.
Mm.
So across all of Google, what they found is that when that is present,
right.
that is a condition for high performance. And when that is absent, high performance doesn't show up.
I love it. Again, we're talking to Meredith Haberfeld, founder, CEO of Think Human, an incredible group here in New York City. Please bring them into your company if you want to create a respectful culture and environment. We've been talking during the Say What section of our show. Half of employees don't feel respected by their bosses. The author of that article is Christine Parath. Meredith, before we end the segment, in that article, they also did a separate survey that I want to share with you and get your comments on. They asked the question of why people are disrespectful. Like, why do people operate in a disrespectful way? And by conducting a separate survey, what they found was that over 60% of the people claim that they are overloaded and have no time to be nice. Now, what do you think about that? That the reason people gave why employees feel disrespected is because, hey, I'm just too busy. I just have too much going on for me.
I don't know. I can tell you what I have observed about disrespect in the workplace is, like you said, most people don't know, no one's going to raise their hand and say, I know I'm being disrespectful and I'm doing it on purpose.
Right. Is Meredith still there? It looks like we dropped Meredith Haberfeld from Think Human. We'll try to get her back. In the meantime, I'll answer the question I asked Meredith. Are people too busy and have too much on their plate to be nice? And look, I validate that people, you are busy, that you have lots on your plate, that you have lots of pressure and noise and clutter and demands coming from all over the place. Absolutely. And at the same time, that is a made-up story that absolutely, unequivocally can be disrupted if you're committed to it. If you make the choice that says, I am going to be respectful to others. The fact is, when you're walking down the hallway, you're already walking down the hallway. You can make eye contact or smile or say hello or good morning, or when someone greets you, to greet them back. You're already there in the office. You're already walking down the hallway. It doesn't take any more time. When someone comes into your office or when you go home and people are around you, just to acknowledge their presence. And if you're unable to talk in that moment because you are busy, then just acknowledge that. That would be respectful, to be honest, to say, right now, I know you're here, so I'm acknowledging your presence, and at the same time, I can't talk. Can we table this conversation or question for a later time? That would be respectful, right? So there really is an opportunity to disrupt this conversation called, I'm too busy. And I believe one of the ways to disrupt it is to actually begin being respectful to yourself. That's right. I believe that when you're respectful to yourself, when you are nice and caring and value yourself, and you tend to yourself, and you fill up your tank, all of a sudden, it's so much easier to be outwardly focused and be outwardly respectful to others. When you fill up your tank because you're tending to yourself, then all of a sudden you find the time. All of a sudden you find the opportunities. I am telling you, there are so many ways to create a respectful interaction and experience. And it starts by taking care of you first. That's right. I really believe that people say they don't have time to be nice, or that they don't know how to be respectful, because they're not taking care of themselves. You're not taking care of you. So please give yourself a vote first. Fill up your tank first. And I promise you, you will begin to interact with people differently and find opportunities to create a respectful experience with others. So we're going to take a break. You've been listening to Coach Nick. Due to disruption, Meredith Haberfeld from Think Human. We just talked about the article, Half of Employees Don't Feel Respected by Their Bosses. When we come back, we're going to have my colleague Nikki Cannon calling in. Again, we have a podcast that drops every Monday, Dudes of Disruption. You can find us on Podomatic and on iTunes. We are in the top 10 as usual. Again, your phone calls at 212-650-6903. All right, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics. And we're disrupting your automatics around this conversation called Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. You can check out the Dudes on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter, Dudes of Disruption. You can also find Coach Nick at NYC on Twitter. Again, the question of the show is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much disrespect do you observe at your office and at home, 10 being the highest? And is it time to disrupt that conversation? Again, your phone calls, 212-650-6903. That was Aretha Franklin, Think. The song Think is definitely an anthem for respecting women. Here's a couple of lines from that song, Think, by Aretha Franklin. I ain't no psychiatrist. I ain't no doctor with degrees. It don't take too much high IQs to see what you're doing to me. You better think about what you're trying to do to me. And what I want to encourage folks is think about your interactions and the experiences you're creating both at home and at work. Not because you're doing anything wrong, but rather, how can you continue to create a respectful interaction, a respectful environment? We have Nikki Cannon, one of my colleagues that I work with. Are you on the phone, Nikki?
Hello, Nick. Yes, I am.
Nikki Cannon.
Hello again.
Leadership development consultant extraordinaire. Nikki, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Nick?
I'm good.
Happy Mother's Day, too.
Yeah.
I know you're not a mother, but you are a father, too.
I have many mothers in my life. Mother of my children. My partner, who's a mother, my mother, my sister's a mother. Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day to everybody else as well. Nikki, we were talking to another friend of mine and colleague, Meredith Haberfeld, in the second break. And we were talking about this article that you're familiar with, which is called Half of Employees Don't Feel Respected by Their Bosses by Christine Porath. And it's based on Harvard Business Review doing a survey of 20,000 employees.
Yes.
One of the studies in that article that was highlighted that I just want to share while you're on the phone is there were some experiments that were conducted, and they watched performance plummet after disrespect occurred. Just witnessing disrespect caused outcomes to falter by nearly half, by 50%. Witnesses' reactions to brainstorming tasks were also stifled when there was disrespect. They stumbled at solving puzzles. External experts rated their products as significantly less creative when disrespect was present. And they found that people are also five times less likely to be attentive to information they see. Disrespect taxes your memory, your energy, and therefore decreasing performance on simple tasks, including, cognitive tasks. Are you surprised by all that?
You know, if you have to think about this in your personal life, the times that you've experienced disrespect, I don't think anyone would really be surprised by those findings, because it's like the quote that you shared earlier, when respect is not present, it's
right.
like air is all you can focus on.
Right.
So I'm definitely not surprised by those findings at all.
So one of the things I shared in the first segment was around bullying. You know, bullying is often associated with disrespect or respect being missing. And I made the point in the first segment that bullying does not just show up as physical. It can be emotional and verbal, right? It's somebody talking and you cutting them off. Somebody talking and you not listening or ignoring them. You excluding people from certain meetings or certain conversations, right? Tell me, because you're an expert on respect. You do team development and leadership development out in the business world. How does somebody create respect? Because respect, I said, is not one size fits all. There are many, many ways, and this is our good news, there are many, many ways to create a respectful experience. What have you seen, or how would you share with folks who are listening today to create a respectful culture, a respectful environment, and interaction?
Yep. So, Nick, it's actually funny with respect that people do seem to think that they're always respectful. And I know you shared, and Meredith shared earlier too, about how people tend not to see themselves as disrespectful.
Right.
However, when it comes to respect, it's the little matter. So some of the ways that I can think of are making eye contact with people.
Right.
Saying hello to people. Calling them by their preferred name, smiling, providing a welcoming environment, removing your earbuds. I mean, when we walk around in the office, seeing people with earbuds on, it is an unwelcoming environment, and always looking out for ways to help instead of focusing on our tunnel vision. And one method in particular that I am really, really trying to steer people towards is being present all the time, especially when you're having a conversation, putting your phone away. This is a big thing for people. We've worked with really high up senior leadership teams. We've worked with other intact teams. And for people, this seems to be one of the things that really bothers them is the phone on the table, or
right.
checking your emails during a meeting, or looking at your phone during a conversation with someone.
Right.
I mean, a research group at Essex University even did a study on this that shows that when mobile phones are on the table, it has negative effects on closeness, connection, and conversation quality. So if you think about going on a first date with someone, putting
right.
your phone on that table can really diminish your returns on that first date. So it's really important to just focus on the other person and be present, because those little things, although are a part of our daily life, can be a big interruption as to how the respect that people are feeling.
I mean, I love that you mentioned the phone on the table, you know, during dinner or on a first date, or the phone on the conference table during a meeting, because Simon Sinek, who's a leadership development expert, talks all about that. He says, what's the message you're sending to people when your phone is in front of you or in between you, when you're checking your phone, right? We've all been to meetings. We've all been at meetings, or even at our dinner table at a restaurant. I mean, you could see people, they're all looking down. Everyone is looking down rather than literally
yeah.
making eye contact, right? You know, it's incredible. What is the message it sends, right? And it's little things like that, although they're not really little, that really cause this thing or this experience called disrespect. Now, you mentioned, Nikki, things like making eye contact or smiling at someone or nodding even at somebody, right? I mean,
yeah.
do those things really create a respectful interaction? Do those things really create a respectful experience? It seems like such insignificant things.
It absolutely does. If you had to close your eyes and picture times where you felt most respected, whether it was an experience at a hotel, I know that we have world-class hotels that focus so much on respect as a part of their customer service training, or when you go into work and you have that experience of interacting with your colleagues from a day-to-day basis, and even with your family members, those little things may seem insignificant, but they are at the crux of human interactions and the way that we see people as perceiving us. And I think it makes a huge difference. So when it comes to respect, I believe it's the little things that matter the most.
Let me ask you this question. What role does recognition and appreciation play in creating a respectful experience?
So recognition and appreciation is one of the most important ways to show respect. When you appreciate someone, I definitely feel like it's a reciprocal relationship, right?
Right.
The more you appreciate someone, the more they feel respected. The more you respect someone, the more likely you are to appreciate them.
Right.
And with that, you start to build a stronger connection. People want to feel appreciated, and that lets other people see that their work is being seen, that they are being heard, and that in turn creates an experience of both respect and appreciation.
Interesting. You know, in the last segment, we talked a lot about safety, psychological safety, and its relationship to respect. Right. So again, the Harvard Business Review study of the 20,000 employees said that folks who have respect from their boss have 1.7 times more, feel more safety, right? Their experience of their role, their job is more safety. What's one way that you believe that effective leaders, great leaders, create psychological safety for their team members? And again, you could apply this at home as well. Parents with their kids, siblings with each other, right? Relatives with each other, neighbors, right? What's one thing that effective leaders, regardless if it's your title as a leader or as a human being, what's one way that you would say helps to create psychological safety?
Yeah, one way is definitely something that I know that you're a big fan of, Nick, and that's all about communication.
Yes.
So with the Google Aristotle study that I know you referenced earlier, one thing was about turn-taking in conversations. So making sure that each person has an appropriate amount of time to talk, making sure you're not talking over someone. And one big thing is actively listening. Too often when we listen, especially when it's a difficult conversation, we're listening to respond. We're not listening to listen.
Say that one more time.
We're listening to respond. We're not listening to understand.
Got it.
So
I love that.
When we're in a conversation, it's almost like as you're talking, instead of me listening to you, I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next.
Yeah, I think one of the best ways, and I appreciate you saying this, one of my favorite one of my go-tos is around listening. I agree. I really believe that people want to be listened to. And I always say to leaders, do not mistake in being listened to as you having to agree with someone. It's not about agreeing with people. People don't want you to always agree with them. In fact, actually, I think people really appreciate and enjoy the back and forth, the give and take, the collaboration. I mean, that's what brainstorming and collaboration is about, is not everybody being rank and file and thinking one way only, people bringing different perspectives, right? And offering it to each other. In order to have an effective brainstorm, in order to have an effective and healthy creative collaboration, you must listen to people in a very, very engaged, generous, you know, no judgment kind of way. I mean, I think listening is more powerful than actually speaking, believe it or not. Because I do believe that when people feel like they're being listened to and being understood, they actually will say more. They will actually lean in more. Has that been your experience as well when you've been working with teams or leaders?
Yes, absolutely. We have to listen to people. We have to ask them questions or clarify them or even repeat what they said in your own words. And those are some small techniques, by paraphrasing what they're saying. Those are some small techniques that can help you become a better active listener.
Right.
People want to feel heard, and they can. And if you talk to someone and you feel like they're talking louder, or they seem to be saying the same thing over and over again, or they are getting frustrated, it's because they don't feel like they're being heard. And that's when you need to just take a seat, stop talking, and start listening.
I love that. I mean, because by the way, part of listening is also listening for what people are not saying, right? Or listening for what they are saying, or what things they continue to keep saying, because that makes you really understand the person even better, right? It creates an even deeper connection. So again, what we're talking about, and we have Nikki Cannon, who's a leadership development consultant. She's a colleague of mine. What we're talking about is this thing called psychological safety and its relationship to respect. And again, I really believe that whose responsibility it is to create this psychological safety is on you and I, if we're the ones in the relationship, right? And as you said, Nikki, we have conversations all the time with leaders about your ability to have people feel safe. People will actually take more responsible risks. People will say more. People will, I always say, people become smarter even though they were always smart. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I completely understand what you mean. That's a great way to say it, too.
So, Nikki, thank you so much for being on the show. How can we get a hold of you? All that good stuff.
Oh, yeah. If you want to get a hold of me, I guess you can always contact me through Nick, or you can find my Facebook, Nikki Cannon, or LinkedIn.
Cool. Nikki.
Many different ways.
Nikki, thanks so much for calling in. Thanks for calling in, and will you be on the show again?
Absolutely, always.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Again, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. We have a men's group here in New York City. If you're a dude who wants to be part of an awesome community of men who are transforming how men show up in the world, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com so you can come to one of our sessions as a guest. Coach Nick and the Dudes also have a political social action group. We've got an event going on later here in May in New York City. If you want more information about how to stay engaged around politics and make a difference, email me again at coachnick@coachnick.com. Up next, we have parting shots. Please send in your online comments. I try to discover a little something to make me sweeter. All right, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics, your automatic way of being, thinking, and doing around this conversation called Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. We're in our last segment. Please call in at 212-650-6903. We have a show every Sunday from 2 to 3 here on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. We are a non-commercial, independent community radio station. We'd love your contribution. Please email me at coachnick@coachnick.com, and I can send you a link so you can contribute to our awesome station so we can continue to thrive. That was Erasure, A Little Respect. And as a kid that grew up in the 80s, I had to play some 80s inside of this conversation called Respect, Respect, Respect. I really, one of the things that came out of the conversation with in our last segment is that there are so many ways that you can create respect. It's making eye contact. It's smiling at people. It's responding to emails in a timely fashion. Even if you don't have all the answers, just letting people know, giving people a heads up that, hey, I got your email, right? It's not ignoring people. It's calling people back, right, when they've left a voicemail for you, or texting people back when they've texted you. It's actually giving people the experience that they matter, right? I'll give you a quick example. I was having breakfast a few weeks back with my two sons and my girlfriend and her daughter, right? My girlfriend made this incredible, incredible breakfast, right? And my two kids and her daughter are all, you know, munching away. We're stuffing our faces away, right? And the four of us are sitting at the table. My girlfriend comes in from the kitchen after cooking this big meal for us, right? And she's standing basically to my left. She's standing up. I'm sitting down, again, stuffing my face, eating this beautiful meal that my girlfriend just made. And my 3.5-year-old gets up. This is how brilliant kids can actually be, right? We could learn so much from kids. My 3.5-year-old gets up from his chair, and I'm looking at him, right? And he comes around the table, and he goes next to my girlfriend. He kind of scoots her over a little bit, and he pulls the chair out for her. Now imagine that. My 3.5-year-old observed, witnessed, noticed that my girlfriend was being ignored by yours truly, and he pulled the chair out for her and asked her to sit down. That's what I mean about respect and disrespect. My girlfriend was being disrespected. She was standing. No one acknowledged her for the food that she just made. And then my 3.5-year-old, who's brilliant and genius, came over and gave her the experience that she mattered. When we notice people, we give them the experience of respect. More importantly, we give them the experience of actually mattering. There are so many ways that we can make people feel and create this respectful experience. And ultimately, when people feel respected, they feel like they matter. And when people feel when they feel like they matter, they feel safe. And they will do anything for you. That's why loyalty increases when people feel respected. And so again, this conversation today was not about, or is not about, making you wrong. It's about creating awareness of how we can continue to be respectful. All the little nuances, from responding to emails in a quicker fashion, to making eye contact, to putting our phones away when we're sitting down for a meeting or for a meal, or when someone is talking to us and actually listening to them and paying attention and leaning in rather than being distracted and doing this thing that we all call multitasking, which I don't actually believe in. Again, you've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. We are live every Sunday. We have a podcast that drops every Monday on iTunes and Podomatic. You can find us on iTunes and Podomatic, Dudes of Disruption. We're number 10, so thank you so much for watching and listening. And so my parting shot is actually just paying some homage to the mothers out there. The mother of my two children, my two boys, my girlfriend and partner in life, who's a mother, and then my mother, who gave birth to me. And, you know, it's interesting about mothers and this conversation around respect. When I was 7 years old, I remember the night that my mother was about to give birth to my sister, my younger sister. And, you know, my mom was obviously getting ready, getting her bag ready to go to the hospital with my dad, you know, getting the bag ready and, you know, getting things in order at home. And I was 7 years old, and I was really nervous. I was really anxious. I didn't really understand what was going on. And I remember, in order to soothe myself and to calm myself down, I went and got my favorite dinosaur book, and I brought it to my mother. And I asked my mother, in the midst of this highly emotional situation that my mother was in, right, where she's about to give birth, she's waiting for the cab, the car service to come get her to go to the hospital, I asked her to actually read to me. I asked her to read to me this dinosaur book that really meant a lot to me. And my mother read the book. And she read it like there was nothing else going on. And she read it with great patience. And she read it with great care. And I thank my mom, and I'm grateful for my mother for being both this powerful, strong woman and loving and caring and respectful all at the same time. And that's really the invitation for everybody, is that don't wait for someone else to be respectful. Gandhi says, be the change that you want to see in the world. And I say, you be the respect that you want to see in your workplace. Be the respect that you want to see in your office and on your team. Be the respect that you want to share and be and lead in your family and in your community and in your neighborhood. Don't wait for others. Disrupt this conversation called, well, I'll be respectful to someone or to that group when they're respectful to me. Disrupt that. Be the leader, regardless of what your title is. Be the example. Be the respect. The world is always a demand, always, always, always for respect. And it starts with us. And that's your good news. You don't have to wait for anyone else. That actually gives you all the power. Thank you so much for listening to Coach Nick. Meredith Haberfeld and Nikki Cannon and the Dudes of Disruption. We're back next Sunday from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Again, we have a podcast on iTunes and on Podomatic called Dudes of Disruption. You can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Dudes of Disruption. We end every show with a Hall of Fame disruptor, Dr. Seuss. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.